All right, Matthew 6. Matthew 6, 1. We'll open with prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord. We thank you, Lord, for what we've already heard in the morning devotional. What a blessing. And Father, how we should obey all of your commands and not make our own interpretation of what we think. Lord, we ask that you'd help us to understand your word this morning and that you would receive all the glory and the honor. Father, we look for the presence of your Spirit among us. And we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Excuse me. Well, we transition from Matthew 5. Get a sip of water here. In Matthew 5, the theme that Jesus preached was living righteousness. Jesus had now put himself on display. He would teach the people what righteousness meant and what it looked like in a life. As we begin Matthew chapter 6, now I believe that Jesus transitions from living righteousness to doing righteousness. So in Matthew 6, as we start the first 18 verses, the Lord teaches us to do three things as children of God. First, he teaches us how not to do those three things. And then also in this text, he teaches us how to do these three things. Those three things, the first one is doing of alms, as the scripture reads, or acts of charity, or acts of kindness. Or we might say, doing righteousness. The acts of doing righteous deeds. Doing good for someone, a good deed. The second is prayer. How do you pray? And then really the question is, when do you pray? So how do you pray? And when do you pray? It's not if you pray. When we get there, it'll be next week, Lord willing. It's when you pray. And then the third thing that Jesus teaches us, and all three of these things, by the way, are to be done in secret. Be done in secret. Doesn't really mean that it won't be seen, but the doing of it in secret is really about your motive and why you're doing it and how you're doing it. It's not so much that nobody can see you, because we'll see in a moment that people are going to see you, for the first and the last anyway. The second one, no one's going to see you. Prayer. Now, you're going to see me, or you're going to be seen praying to some at the dinner table in the corporate assembly. You just saw me pray. You heard me pray. But Jesus teaches us about a prayer that we are all to have, which no one is to see. And that's your secret prayer life. The third thing that the Lord teaches here, that's to be concealed or done in secret, but this thing will be seen also, is fasting. Or you might say afflicting your soul or afflicting yourself for the sake of communion with Christ. Denying yourself that you might be drawn closer to the Lord. Now, in 1 John 2:29, remember we transitioned from living righteousness to doing righteousness. 1 John 2:29, the Apostle John says, "He that doeth righteousness is born of God." So you are to be a doer of righteousness. And people are going to see you do righteousness. They should see you. You say, wait a minute, you just said they shouldn't. Well, we'll get to that. But they should see you, because that's a living witness that you have been saved from your sins and that you are a child of God. Now, again, these three things are to be done in secret. Means concealed. It means when you do them, this is the main thrust of what they mean. Really, the first and the third. The third one's to be completely secret. You're not to come out of your secret prayer closet and say, guess where I was? It's to be a place where you go off and you're in secret with the Lord. No one should know about that secret relationship. It's a secret communion and friendship and fellowship that you have with God that nobody else knows about. Not even your wife, not even your husband. No one. It's just you and God. But for the first and the third, it means to be concealed. It means when you do it, you don't call attention to yourself. We'll see in a minute, you don't blow a trumpet. You don't call a press conference. You just do it as Jesus, when he did mighty works, many of them, the Bible says he conveyed himself away. And so we are to have that same spirit. Now, don't forget what the Lord taught in Matthew 5:20. This is still, I think, an overarching theme. Except your righteousness shall exceed, unless it's a better righteousness than the scribes and Pharisees. And we're about to see in all three of these, we're not going to look at all three today, just one. But they put their righteousness out on display so that they could receive the praise. They wanted everybody to see them. But our righteousness, as Jesus taught, is to exceed theirs. If you're a child of God, you're to have a better righteousness than you're to have a better righteousness than they did. Come on in. Come on in, sit down. Now, the scribes and Pharisees, listen, their righteousness, the righteousness of the scribes and of the Pharisees, was a surface righteousness. It was a cover. It was a mask. It was a disguise. It was not a true representation of who they were. See, we are to give a true representation of who we are. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So what's in you will sooner or later come out in your life. The scribes and the Pharisees tried to hide the corruption and wickedness within them with outward righteous works, but their hypocrisy was easily seen. They covered their wickedness and corrupt hearts with a pretended external piety. It was pretended. It was fake. It was phony. They looked holy on the outside, but within they were full of wickedness and sin. The Bible says of them that they loved and sought after praise from men, from others. That's why they did their acts of charity and kindness, so others would applaud them. They did it and they wanted people to commend them and to exalt them. That's what Jesus is teaching us here. That's not why we do acts of righteousness. Now listen, this is a dangerous warning sign to every one of us in regard to our Christianity. It's a dangerous warning sign because let me tell you, if you're not careful, the blood of the Pharisee will course through your veins. We will become Pharisees. We will become like that Pharisee that prayed in Luke chapter 18 when he said, I'm thankful that I am not as other men are. In other words, he looked down on sinners and he said, I'm better than they are. And listen, we need to be careful as Christians that we never look upon someone who's not a Christian and think that we're better. We're not. Listen, there's no difference in us and them, except the fact that God saved us from our sins. And listen, it's the same thing that we pray for any lost sinner. And so, beloved, that's where we need to be. So the Lord Jesus here in chapter 6 begins to expose their hypocrisy. In chapter 5, he exposed their hypocrisy in how they had misrepresented the law of Moses. They leavened it. They inserted their own wicked opinions into the law of Moses, and they taught the people so. And now, as we begin in chapter 6, Jesus now will teach his disciples and the multitudes the nature of true righteousness, and that it was obedience, it was to be in obedience to God from the heart. And of course, in chapter 5, chapter 5 was to be in obedience to God, not in just the outward actions, but from the heart. And this is still a little bit in review, but consider this: the outward act of sin is the outward manifestation of what had already previously originated in the heart. That's what Jesus was teaching us in chapter 5. Listen, you may never actually commit the sin that you think about in your heart. But if you've entertained it and you've embraced it in your heart and in your mind, in the eyes of God, you've already committed that sin. You may never actually do it, but God says you're guilty already. And so the thought of sin is sin. Look at Proverbs 24:9. Proverbs 24:9. Follow me if you can. If not, just listen. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 9. We're talking about the thought of sin. Proverbs 24 and verse 9. Notice what the wise man says. The thought of foolishness is sin. Just the thought. See, the scribes and Pharisees taught the people, you can think about adultery, but as long as you don't do it, you didn't actually commit it. Jesus said, yes, you did. And here, the thought of foolishness is sin. And then look over in Mark 7:21. Mark chapter 7 and verse 21. Mark 7 and verse 21. This drills down more to the point. Mark 7 and verse 21. He says here, for from within, out of the heart, proceed evil thoughts. See that? Out of the heart. That's where they originate. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. So those things originate within. So as we begin chapter 6 this evening, or this morning rather, the Lord Jesus now continues to expose their hypocrisy. Y'all know what hypocrisy is, right? And we'll see a more specific definition in a minute. But the hypocrite is a pretender. The Pharisees and the scribes were religious pretenders. And so Jesus in chapter 6 will continue to expose the hypocrisy of the scribes and Pharisees in how they called attention to themselves, openly displaying their pretended piety before the people. In other words, openly trying to receive applause and commendation from the people in Israel for doing this morning their acts of righteousness. And so the Lord taught the people that what they saw in the scribes and Pharisees was not of God and not a representation of true righteousness. Now, let's first deal with that seeming contradiction. We talked about that in the beginning. Remember we talked about that? Wait, you're saying conceal my righteous acts, but then I said people should see your righteous acts, right? They should see your good works. They should. In fact, in Ephesians 2:10, the Bible says we are created unto good works. In other words, God's ordained that we should do good things, righteous deeds. Look back at Matthew 5:14. Go back there. You'll remember this. We were here a couple of weeks ago. Matthew 5:14. This is where the Lord taught us that we were salt and light. We'll just look at the light portion. Notice, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. You can't hide the light that's in you. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Well, here's the verse I'm talking about. Let your light so shine before men. Well, wait a minute. Chapter 6 says, conceal your alms or your righteous deeds before men. See? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, the key is in the last phrase of that passage. But here in the text of Matthew 6, let's read Matthew 6, verses 1 to 5, or 1 to 4, actually. Notice Jesus says, take heed that you do not your alms or your righteous deeds before men to be seen of them. That's just what we read in Matthew 5, right? Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. Don't announce yourself, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. What's their reward? They got the applause of men. Verse 3. But when thou doest alms, which is righteous acts, good deeds, acts of kindness and charity for someone else, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. So in our text in verse 1, the Lord says, do not do your alms before men to be seen of them. Chapter 5:14 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. A contradiction? Let's go on. Verse 3, chapter 6. When you do alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, that they would be between you and your heavenly Father. It's just between you and God. So, how do we reconcile what the Lord said in chapter 5 with what we have here in our text? Well, the key to understanding, I believe, go back to chapter 5, verse 16, look at it. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Here's the motive. And glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Why are you doing it? Are you doing it primarily and only to be seen of men? Or are you doing it to glorify your Father, which is in heaven? It's also found in the negative command of Matthew 6:1. There's a negative command here. The motive of your heart must not be, I am doing this before the eyes of men, to be seen of them. In other words, you're not doing what you're doing to be seen of men. We are not doing our righteous deeds or our alms for the praises of men or others, but for the glory of God and to magnify Him. That's why we do our good works. And so that's where our motive is to be. So Jesus says, therefore, do not sound a trumpet or call a press conference to highlight yourself. I always get a big kick out of this. There are millionaires, big sports figures, and there'll be a press conference on the evening news, and they'll get up there and they'll put it on the news. A lot of times it's a big sports figure, like an NFL player or NBA player or somebody. Now, I'm not saying what they're doing is bad, but the Christian way to do it is not to call a press conference and say, I'm donating $1 million to this, or I'm doing this. See, Jesus is saying that's blowing the trumpet and calling a press conference. If you're going to do a good work like that, just do it. And we'll get into the left hand and the right hand in a minute. See, we have an insatiable desire. It's in our fallen nature to want to be praised by others. And beloved, Jesus is saying, no, that can't be why. Because you know what? When we call a press conference and we have the big check with seven figures on it, Jesus says, verily, I say unto you, you have your reward. What's the reward? The applause of men. And guess where there's no reward coming from? Your Heavenly Father. No reward of your Heavenly Father. Now, some might be saying, and there's this mindset of, we shouldn't be doing things for rewards. Oh, yes, we should. We just need to be doing it for the eyes of our Heavenly Father only. And if we are, there's a certain way to do that. So in this thing in chapter 6, Jesus is clearly exposing the hypocrisy of the scribes and Pharisees in their insatiable desire to be seen and praised of men. This is what Paul in his epistles, two places will look. Go to Ephesians 6. He called what the scribes and Pharisees wanted as eye service. Eye service. Now, when you look up the word eye service, go ahead to Ephesians 6:5. I'll read this to you. But eye service is actually two Greek words literally meaning sight works. Sight works. In other words, you're doing them so others will see you do them. Sight works or eye bondage. Now look at Ephesians 6:5. Servants, now this is talking about the way you do what you do in life. Your job, you do your job. You don't do an exceptional job just because your boss is watching. You do it not for eye service. And when you do acts of righteousness, you don't do it because somebody's watching you. Look, verse 5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness or sincerity of your heart as unto Christ. In other words, whatever you do, if it's a good work, if it's anything, do it for the eyes of the Lord, not for the eyes of your boss or for the eyes of others to look at what you're doing. He says, here's how not to do it. Not with eye service, as men pleasers. That's not why we serve God. Listen, if that's why we're serving God, and if that's why we're doing an act of righteous deeds, well, we got our reward already. And we're not pleasing God in the way we do it. See, they're men pleasers. We need to do things to be God pleasers. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ. Notice, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. So any good thing we do, beloved, if we're doing it for ourselves or if we're doing it for earthly or worldly commendation, we're not doing it for God. Same with doing righteous deeds. Go to Colossians 3:22. Paul also, as he wrote to Ephesus, wrote to the Colossians in Colossians 3:22. He says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, whether it's giving alms, doing righteous deeds, whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. Do it for his eyes, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive what? The reward of the inheritance. See, that's the reward we wait for, not rewards down here. We want the reward that God gives. And I'm going to show you that in the end of this message. But knowing that ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Now back to Matthew 6:1. Go back there. Matthew 6:1. So now we should understand how we are to do alms or good deeds or righteous deeds, not to receive praise from men. Now listen. That doesn't mean it's not going to come. It doesn't mean you lost your reward from God if you are praised by someone. The proverb says, let another man praise thee and not thine own self, a stranger and not you. If you did it with a motive to honor and glorify God and others commend you, there's nothing wrong with that, as long as your motive was not to receive praise from men. Now, we are to do things for the honor and glory of God, and if I could say, humbly and quietly. That's how we're to do our good works. Verse 2, do not sound the trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may have the glory of men. That's how the scribes and Pharisees lived in that time and in that culture. They wanted everybody to see them doing their good works. Now, I said I would define the hypocrite. What is the hypocrite? He is an actor under an assumed character. I think of the Hollywood people. These people that are actors that get on news conferences and they give us their opinions about how we ought to live our life. Why should I live to you? Why should I listen to you? You're not even a real person. Who are you? Are you the actor that you're supposed to be acting like? So why should I listen to someone who pretends to be someone else for 90% of their lives? Why should I listen to you? Actor means hypocrite. Now, I'm not saying all actors are hypocrites, but that's what a hypocrite is. In real life, he's an actor. He's pretending. He is under an assumed character. He's a dissembler. A dissembler professes to be what they, in reality, are not. You know, most time you look at like a movie or something, you see an actor, that's not really who they are. In Christianity, a hypocrite is not who they really, they're not really a Christian. And that's what Jesus is saying. These are hypocrites. He's telling the people, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is exposing their religious teachers that had been teaching them about God, and Jesus is telling them, you've heard that it's been said by them, I say unto you, they're hypocrites. Go to Matthew 23, he spoke to them those woes. So the Lord had already exposed the hypocrisy and the faulty self-righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees in that they had no heart for the commandments of God. And now he's exposing how they put their religious hypocrisy on display before the people of Israel. They put it on display. When they did their alms, they called a press conference. And they went out in the streets. And they had somebody blow a trumpet. And they said, at 12 o'clock high noon, I'm going to do this. So we need to have a lot of people there to see me do this. So I can have the praise of men. See their motive. Listen, Romans 12:8 says, he that giveth, or he, if I could say, does an act of righteousness, let him do it with simplicity. That word simplicity means as one who is free from pretense and hypocrisy and not self-seeking. Listen, this may sound pretty easy what I'm preaching this morning, that when you do something, you don't want to be seen of men. But beloved, we need the strength and grace of God to do this in our lives. Now, let us move on to the rewards spoken of by our Lord. There are two rewards indicated and desired in our text. One reward is the praises of men and women. That's the hypocrite's reward. They want praise. And listen, the hypocrite's happy to get it. They could care less about having God approve of their works. They want to have an audience. I mean, listen, the Hollywood actors, man, when everybody gives them a standing ovation, man, that makes their week. We don't want that as Christians. We don't want the world's approval. We want God's approval. We want God to be pleased with what we do. So the first reward is the hypocrite's reward. The other reward is given by God, our Heavenly Father. Now, which reward are you seeking? Or let me say it like this, which reward are you receiving? Which reward are you receiving? Now, verses 1 and 2, if you do good deeds or acts of charity and acts of righteousness to be seen and praised by men, if you sound the trumpet and make sure everyone sees you doing your good deeds and acts of kindness, you are being rewarded, but not from your Heavenly Father. Now, listen, this requires introspection. We need to examine our own lives. It's written of the Pharisees, John 12:43, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. So if you're seeking to be rewarded and recognized by men, you can expect no reward from your Heavenly Father. In fact, he says, verily, if you've done it like that, Jesus said, I say unto you, they have their reward. Implied, you won't have my reward, God says. Now, get into my head for a moment. Think about it from the preacher's perspective. If I am preaching to be complimented or if I am worried about what everyone thinks about what I am preaching out of God's word, you got that? If I'm worried about what everybody thinks about what I am preaching out of the word of God, then I am not preaching for the glory of God. I'm preaching for the praise of men. If I worry about what any of you think, and I'm not trying to be rude, but my motive needs to be that God would be honored in the preaching of the word. And in the real sense, it doesn't matter what you think. I don't want that to sound heartless, but it does matter. I want you to know and hear the word of God. But from my motive must be that God would be honored. And if I seek and search for compliments, God says, well, there you have it. You have your reward. And listen, don't think that's not a battle. I'm a man of like passions. So Jesus says, when you do alms, an act of kindness, acts of kindness, do them in secret and quietly, to be seen by your heavenly Father. Do them for his eyes. Don't let, there's that phrase, your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Now I'm going to show you that in a moment. But understand, and we're winding down here, the motive of our heart should always be that God would be honored and glorified in any act of righteousness or kindness that we do for anyone. Now, we all know what the hypocrite looks like, don't we? Who call attention to themselves when they're about to do something good for someone else. We know if we saw it, we would think, look at that, that's pathetic, wouldn't we? I mean, if you see hypocrisy, when you see it, you know what it looks like. And so you look and you say, that's pathetic. Well, we need to make sure that we take the mirror and turn it around and look at ourselves. In fact, the first two words of this text, Jesus says, take heed. It's a warning from the Lord. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Look at Matthew 23. This is that chapter in which the Lord denounces and rebukes the hypocritical scribes and Pharisees. Matthew 23, verses 5 through 8. Listen to what he tells them. He says, well, look at verse 2, because this is very interesting. It says, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. That is his seat of authority. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. So, you know the old saying, right? Do as I say, not as I do. They would command the people, but they didn't obey their own commands. He says in verse 4, they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do, why? To be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries. You know what that is? Phylactery basically was, in effect, a big thing that they wear around their necks on a chain, or it was in their head. It was like a thing on their head, and it had a verse of scripture in it, probably a verse of the law, the Pentateuch, and they made them broad, so they wear these big Bible verses on them, on a chain about their neck, as if that was going to make them look more pious and more holy. So they make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the uppermost rooms at feasts, and the chief seats in synagogues, and they love to be called rabbi, rabbi, because it means master, master. See, they like to be exalted. They like an audience. Jesus says they were hypocrites. Verse 14, look at verse 14, same chapter. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense. You know what a pretense is? It's an outward show. It's an outward show. For an outward show, you make a long prayer. So you pray for a long time. The prayer means absolutely nothing, but you just do it so that you'll look righteous and holy. And in verse 28, even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Now listen, we have, all of us have great need to take heed to the Lord's words in Matthew 6:1. Take heed that you do not your alms before men. Remember, don't sound a trumpet or make it obvious to others that you're about to do something good. Don't advertise yourself. And then let not your left hand know what your right hand is doing. So do it in secret for the honor and glory of God. And what is this left hand, right hand thing? Now here's where you need to seek the Lord, that you can conceal it even from yourself. Conceal it even from yourself. Because you know why? Yourself is the problem. Yourself is the problem. The center letter in the word pride is I. And so, beloved, we need to mortify our pride. Let nothing be done, Philippians says, through strife or vainglory. Vainglory that I get the attention. Now I'm going to close with this right hand, left hand thing, and I think Matthew 25, turn there, verse 31, I think gives us a good example of someone who did things that their left hand didn't know what their right hand was doing. Not that they did it and they didn't know they were doing it, but it's the way they did it. And it comes out at the judgment of the great day. Look at verse 31 of Matthew 25. It says there in verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. This is the judgment of the great day, brethren. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Remember that, Constance? We read that. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now listen, he said, I was an hungered and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in, naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Now listen to the righteous. Here's the left hand not knowing what the right hand was doing. Then shall the righteous answer him and say, Lord, when saw we an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. See, the left hand didn't know what the right hand was doing. The motive of their hearts was to serve the Lord Christ. And so when they did those acts of righteous deeds, they did them for the honor and glory of God. And Christ said, you know what? When you did them like that, you did them unto me. And so they did them in secret. They concealed them. They didn't do it to receive the applause of those that were watching. They did it the way they should have done it. And so, beloved, let not your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Do it in secret and for the honor and glory of God. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not unto men. And remember, the one that you need to conceal it from most of all is to conceal it from yourself. Now, beloved, our God is so good to teach us the truth of his word. But I know that there are those that have not turned from their sins to Christ among us. The Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. That's now. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And the Bible says, what a God that we've sinned so against him. And he says, I will have mercy upon you. He will abundantly pardon. You know, at the end of every presidential administration, you hear it. You hear that the president, who is not a king, but this is one of the things that the framers left in place in the Constitution of the United States, where the president can grant full pardons. And he does that. Every president does it. And so there will be prisoners in prison, and the president can call that person and pardon their sentence and they're released. Now, they're still guilty of what they committed, but their sentence is commuted and they're released and they're set free. When Jesus pardons, when God pardons, those sins are gone. The sins of the sinner are gone. In fact, the Bible says that Jesus, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions. And then God imputes to the sinner his righteousness. And so God views the sinner that has been saved just as if they had never sinned. That's much better than a presidential pardon. And so if you've not turned from your sins to Christ, I pray that you do so this day. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out.